This doesn't screen. Is the screening live also?
All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. First of all, shkoach to Ari again for the coffee, for the breakfast, for the hamantashen. I'm sorry.
Say it. We should have
macaroons. Okay. Let's say something for next week. All right, so we'll say, let's just pick up at the bottom of Mem Zayin onward base with the end, just to close out the sugya. The hilchosa, the halacha is omen zman bishmini shalchag. The halacha, so also remember again, yesterday's daf was devoted to whether or not we go ahead and we recite Shechianu by the Yom Tov, or by the separate Yom Tov. Remember again, this has to do with the intriguing identity of Shmini Atzeres. On one hand, clearly being reckoned as a Yom Tov of its own. On the other hand, still an appendage of Sukkis. So the question is striking the halachic balance. Whatever the Gemara says, the halach is, we say, Omim Zman B'Shmini Shal Chag, we recite Shech Yonu on the Yom Tov of Shmini Atzeres. Tanya Kavasi de Rav Nachman. We have a Bais that's part of Rav Nachman. Shmini, Reg Tav of Memches, Regel Bifne Atzmo, Le'inyon Pizark Shav. So I will say, this is probably the most famous Shmini Atzeres Gemara, that if you want to know Shmini Atzeres, in one hand is certain ways it's linked to Sukkis, but on other hands, again, it is a Yom Tov, it is a Regel Bifne Atzmo. In what sense is it a Regel Bifne Atzmo? In six different ways. Pizar Kishav. Pizar Kishav is just a way to remember the six differences. What does Pizar Kishav stand for? Number one, Pais Bifne Atzmo. There is a lottery. It's drawn. There's a lot that's drawn for itself. Look at Rashi. Pais Bifne Atzmo. Shebechol Pari HaChag Lo Hayom Atilin Pais. Ezim Mishmor Yakriv. Lefisha Beseder Hayom Makriven Osan. At Shekol Chav Dalet Mishmoros Shonos. This is very interesting. We know that the Kohanim were split up into 24 shifts. Those shifts served throughout the year. On the Regalim, everyone was on duty. Everyone was on call. Because remember, again, there is a huge volume of karbanos that are brought over the course of the Regalim. Because remember, again, what's part of the Regalim? First of all, again, depending on the Regal, each Regal has its own unique karbanos. Couple that with the fact that what? That you have Shalmi Simcha. You have people bringing Shlamim. Plus what else? Remember again, if you lived at a distance from Yerushalayim. So let's say again, you wanted to bring an Ola, you wanted to bring a Nadava, you wanted to bring a Chatos. You didn't just go ahead. What's going on back here? Right, you wouldn't just go, let's switch you to decaf, Al. Right, so remember, so what happens? If you go ahead and let's say you had to bring a carbon, so you would not just immediately drop everything and run to Yerushalayim, but you realize you had to go anyway three times a year. You would save up your carbonos for that. So there's a huge volume. As such, all Kohanim are on call. So says the Gemara, as much as everyone is on call for the Yom Tov of Sukkis, when it comes to Shmini Atzeres, they did draw lots. They did a new pious for which Kohanic shift was going to go ahead and serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Next, Regel Bifne Atzmo. It is considered to be a Yom Tov by itself, unto itself. Says Rashi, Regel Bifne Atzmo, Shen Yoshvin B'Sukkah. Meaning, how do we see that Shmini Atzeres is its own Yom Tov? We don't sit in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Remember, we saw already before the halacha lemaisa nesav yasrina bruche lo mevarchinon, that when the Gemara says that, that's for Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they do not sit on the sukkah and shmini atzeres. In chutz la'aretz, of course, again, in the absence of an established family minhag, to not sit in the sukkah and shmini atzeres, meaning some people do have a minhag not to sit into this. So again, if you don't have a family minhag, or you know, or it was one of those family minhagim that were born out of convenience, the halacha is a person should sit in the chutz la'aretz. A person should sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, so the Shulchan Aruch paskins without a bracha. So again, when he says over here, Regel Bifne Atzmo, we don't sit in the sukkah. That's Rabbi Nei Eretz Yisrael. Karban Bifne Atzmo, and Lemaisa again, it has its own carbon. Rashi says Karban Bifne Atzmo she'inu kisei de pari achag dimkein ha'yibo shisha par. Remember again, the interesting part of the karbanos of Sukkis is that they go in diminishing order. But again, Shmini Atzeres does not follow that order. Shmini Atzeres has Yom Tov onto, it has a separate, has its own sacrificial order. Shira Bifne Atzmo. Shira Bifne Atzmo means what Rabbi said, that again, the Levitic psalm, The Shiras Halavim was a separate one for Shmini Atzeres than it was for the days of Sukkis. Bracha Bifnei Atzmo. And Bracha Bifnei Atzmo is something very interesting. Es Yom, we're looking at Rashi, Bracha Bifnei Atzmo, Es Yom HaShmini. Remember, again, there are different Girsos, whether or not it's Yom Shmini Chag Atzeres Hazeh, Yom Chag HaShmini Atzeres, but the idea is that in Tfilah, we have a different Bracha, as opposed to Chag HaSukkos, Zman Simchasenu, we say Shmini Chag Atzeres Hazeh. I'll just point out something. So again, those are the six ways, Psar Kishav, in which Shmini Atzeres is separate and distinct from the Yom Tov Sukkos. Just interestingly enough, Halacha L'maisa, you should know, what happens if a person accidentally said Chag HaSukkos, Zman Simcha Seinu, on Shmini Atzeres, right? Let's say I added in the Sukkos ending for the Bracha instead of Shmini Atzeres. What's the Halacha? Kares, according to some. Okay. Hey, so Halacha L'maisa, you're Yotze. Your Yotze, which is Kares or Yotze. You can take your choice. So interestingly enough, Halacha L'maisa, you are Yotze. So what does that tell you? That's part of the halachic tension. That on one hand, again, Shmini Atzeres is clearly a separate Yom Tov. At the end of the day, you can't ignore the fact that it is an appendage of the Yom Tov of Sukkis. Therefore, Lechatchila, we try to concretize it as its own Yom Tov, with its own identity. But L'maisa, if you relapse back into calling it a day of Sukkis, Halacha L'maisa, you are still Yotze Tfilah, you will not be required to go back and repeat.
That's for Kiddush too?
That's for everything. That's for Kiddush as well as for Tfilah. Says again, Lechatchila, obviously we try to avoid that, but B'diavad, one will not have to repeat. Says the Mishnah. And in all seriousness, it happens to be not everyone agrees with that. That happens to be Shlomo Zalman Arbach Sechatadik Levracha Paskins that way. In Halicho Shlomo, he brings this down. There are poskim who go in and disagree with that, but Lamaisa, that seems to be a consensus opinion. Says the Mishnah, Hahalel v'hasimcha shmona ketzah. So remember, again, we've already established that we recite Halel, and there's a mitzvah of simcha all 8 days. And Rashi points out, what does simcha mean in this context? Rashi says, Shalmei Simcha. Simcha over here refers to Karbanos, Shlamim. So how exactly do we have this mitzvah of Halel and Simcha? All 8 days. What does that teach us? Melamed Shechayiv Adam B'Halel U'B'Simcha B'Kavad Yom Tov Acharon Shachag Kishar Kalimos Achag. What it teaches us is that a person is obligated for Halel as well as for Simcha and honoring the Yom Tov on the Yom Tov Acharon Shachag. Again, we see even the flip-flop a little bit. The Yom Tov Acharon Shachag over here refers to what? Refers to Shmini Atzeres. So on one hand, we just said Shmini Atzeres is a separate Yom Tov. On the other hand, what are we calling it now? The Yom Tov Acharon Shachag, the last day of Sukkis. Kishar Yimos Kolachag. So really what the Mishnah is telling us is that Lemaisa, as far as Halel and Simcha are concerned, again, we've just established the six differences between Shmini Atzeres and Sukkis, but as far as the recitation of Halel, as far as Shalmei, Simcha, Shlamim, Karbanos, so Shmini Atzeres is no different than the days that preceded it. Says for the, Rashi points out over here, Hahalel, Ligmor Boas Hahalel. The idea is, both say, you know, this is a distinction as opposed to Pesach, where let's say, again, we know that we have a difference in the Halel between the beginning of the Yom Tov and the end of the Yom Tov. That's a Halel Shalom throughout the entirety of Sukkis, including Shmini Atzeres. Says the Gemara, Minahani Mili. How do we know this? Now look at Rashi, Minahani Mili. What? Minahani Mili, the Shmini Chayiv B'Simcha. How do we know that the eighth day of Yom Tov, that Shmini Atzeres is Chayiv in Simcha? After all, Rashi says, Daha lo ksiv bei behedja, ela b'shiva simei achag, chag ha-sukos ta'aseh l'cha, v'samech lei v'samachta b'chagecha. So what's interesting is the following. As opposed to the beginning of Yom Tov, the beginning of Sukkis, we'll see in just a moment, there's an explicit commandment, v'samachta b'chagecha. There is no explicit commandment by Shmini Atzeres. If that's the case, how in fact do I know that the mitzvah of Simcha does apply to Shmini Atzeres? To which the Gemara says, the Tan Rabbanon, v'hayisa ach sameach. Because the Pasuk says, you will be, and I will say, ach is an interesting word. Ach could mean ingest, ach could mean but, ach could mean including. So look at Rashi for just a moment. First of all, I will say, the Pasuk in its entirety is, Shivas yomim tachog l'Hashem alokecha, v'amakom asher yivchar Hashem alok Hashem, ki yivarecha Hashem alokecha b'chol tivuascha v'ma'asiyah adecha, you shall rejoice for 7 days before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'hayisa ach sameach. V'hayisa ach sameach. So it says the Gemara, L'rabos lele yom tov ha'acharon. What does this come to include? This comes to include the last night of Yom Tov for the mitzvah of Simcha. Look at Rashi, ach sameach, bahi parsha da'aser ta'aser, k'siv zan yom tov, L'rabos lele yom tov ha'acharon. l'simcha shalafarav l'kolalo im shivas hayamim sheyizbach shlamim b'shvi kedei le'echol le'el shmini. So we'll say, listen to this. The Gemara's understanding now, v'hayisa ach sameach comes to include what? Comes to include the night of Shmini Atzeres. Now, how do you include the night of Shmini Atzeres in the mitzvah of Simcha? So Rashi says what that means is, on the seventh day of Sukkot, you would have to go ahead and offer up additional shlamim karbanos for what purpose? So that you could go ahead and have meat shlamim on the night of Shmini Atzeres. Finishing Rashi. Because also here's the issue. What does this Vayisa Ach Sameach come to teach me? Because after all, the Torah already told me that I have to rejoice on the Yom Tov of Sukkot. Where did the Torah tell me that? So if you already told me v'samachta v'chagecha, why do I need v'hayisa ach sameach? What does that come to teach me? Rashi says, elo l'rabos simchas leil shmini. Rather, what it's coming to teach me is what? It's coming to include the night of Shmini Atzeres. V'chevan d'israbi leil yom tov ha'achron shu tovel, kavachomer hayom shu ikar. Rabbi said, here's it. So again, this is a two-pronged limud. So again, v'samachta v'chagecha teaches me what? Sukkot, seventh day of Sukkot. Vayisa ach sameach is extraneous. What is it coming to teach me? It's coming to include the night of Shmini Atzeres. Oh, and now once I include the night of Shmini Atzeres, then what does that by definition also include? It includes the day. Why? Because the day is tafel to the night. Because ultimately, again, I should say the night is tafel to the day. The day is considered to be, again, the more prominent time for Simcha. Therefore, if I'm already including the night of Shmini Atzeres for Simcha, then Kal v'chomer, also the day is included for Simcha. So he says, Shehu ikar shechai b'simcha, u'shar ha'leilos lo tzrichi ribui yamim, afilo leilos v'mashra ki rabin l'gabi sukkah. And again, I will say, oh, we're not going to get into this now. Fine, so let's go back to the Gemara. So therefore, again, the Gemara is suggesting that Vayisa Ach Sameach is the pasuk that teaches me that I'm obligated to go ahead and be besimcha on the night of Shmini Atzeres. And once there's a mitzvah to be besimcha the night of Shmini Atzeres, then it goes without saying that, of course, by day as well. So the Gemara says the following. O Eino Ela Yom Tov HaRishon. So we'll say, this is fascinating. One second. Maybe Vayisa Ach Sameach comes to teach me what? That there's a mitzvah of Simcha on the first night of Sukkot. The Rabbi was like, this is fascinating. Technically speaking, there's not a mitzvah of Simcha on the night, first night of Sukkot. Why? Because remember, what does Simcha mean in the context of the Gemara over here? Shlamim. Now, if you're going to tell me that there's a mitzvah of Simcha on the first night of Sukkot, then what would that require of me? That would require me to be shechting Shlamim when? On Erev Yom Tov. On Erev Yom Tov. Right? Because remember, again, this is for the first night now. So look at Rashi for just a moment. So maybe Vayisa Ach Sameach comes to teach that there's a mitzvah of Simcha the first night of Yom Tov. Look at Rashi. Oh, Eino El Rabbos LeYom Tov Rishon VaAshmo Ina. What would that teach me? Shetzarech Lizboach Shlamim Erev Yom Tov LeSimchas Laila HaRishon. What that would require then is the shechting of Shlamim on Erev Yom Tov, so I'd be able to have it on the first night of Yom Tov. Below Ba'inon Zvicha B'Sha Simcha. I will say this is very interesting. See, what this would go against is an already established principle, which is what? Which is that in general, you need what we call Zvicha B'Shas Simcha. Zvicha B'Shas Simcha means that Shlomim are only shechted at a time of Simcha, which means what? That Shlomim are shechted on Yom Tov itself. And I will say, the reason why this bothers you, I'm going to tell you why this bothers you, is because why it's a little bit unsettling is because our only affiliation, our only frame of reference when it comes to Shlomim is what Yom Tov? Pesach. Pesach is different because Pesach, you are shechting Shlomim on Erev Yom Tov. Why? Because remember, Karban Pesach has to be Ne'echal ala Sova. Karban Pesach is already your dessert. You're already eating it once you're already sated. So there already you have to have Shlomim to eat along with it. But that is not that, right? That's why that was bothering you.
Yeah.
Of course, there's so many people shifting in their seats. Right? So that's why it bothers us. But L'maisa, just because that's a din by Pesach, Pesach may be the outlier. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the notion of shechting shlamim, shlo bishas simcha, does not really sit right with us. But maybe v'ha'isa ach sameach comes to teach me that there's a mitzvah of simcha even on the first night of Yom Tov, in which case then I'd be obligated to go ahead and shech shami simcha on Erev Yom Tov, to which the Gemara says, no. Kishu omer ach chilek. No. You know what? The word ach comes to create a distinction. Rabbi said this is going to become very halakha l'maisa. We actually saw this in Pesachim, right? This is how we know again that, for example, on ach bayom arishon teshpisus or mibateichem, Torah says, on the first day, which we understand is not the first day of Pesach, but rather again is Erev Pesach, ach is mechalek. That's why halakha l'maisa, we eat chametz on the first part of Erev Pesach, but not on the second part of Erev Pesach. Ach comes to make a distinction. And therefore, again, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is ach is being mechalik between the eighth night and the first night. To tell you that the mitzvah of simcha only applies on the eighth night, but what? Does not apply on the first night. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Uma rois l'rabos le'liyom tova achron, u'lohotzi le'liyom tova rishon. So this seems a little arbitrary. Why are you telling me that ach comes to make a distinction and include the eighth night and the mitzvah of simcha, but not the first night? I could just as easily say, marba ani le'liyom tova achron. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Marba ani le'liyom tova achron, sheyesh simcha lefanov. I could tell you why. You know why I'm going to include the eighth night in simcha? Because I'm just perpetuating an already existing dynamic. You see, on the eighth night was already preceded by Atravosai. By six other nights before it, they were obligated in simcha. So therefore, if you're going to be including either day, night one or night eight, it makes sense to include night eight. Why? Because you're just continuing the already established dynamic of simcha. Umotzi ani le'viyom tavrishon she'in simcha lafanav. And lemaisa again, I will go ahead and exclude the first night from simcha. Why? Because there's no pre-existing simcha. So what's halacha lemaisa? This seems to be how the Gemara ends off. Again, that we go ahead and we know that we establish all 8 days for Hallel and for Simcha. But Lamaisa, it would appear, the Rambam also paskins this way, that there were no Shalmei Simcha on the first night of Yom Tov. And Vayisa Ach Sameach comes to include that on night eight, we have Shalmei Simcha. Therefore, there's a din of Simcha on the night of Shmini Atzeres. Once there's a mitzvah of Simcha on the night of Shmini Atzeres, there'll be a mitzvah by day as well, says the Mishnah. Sukkah Shiva Ketzot. How do you have Sukkah? How do you have the mitzvah of Sukkah for 7 days? So the Gemara says, now what that means is, how do you establish that the mitzvah of Sukkah only applies for 7 days and does not extend into the eighth? What do you do? Gamar milecho, when you finish eating on day seven, lo yatir es sukkah, so you shouldn't take down your sukkah, but rather what should you do? Aval morid es hakelim min hamincha ulemalo, mipnei kavod yom tov ha'achron shechag. Rabbi will say, what should you do? You should go ahead, look at Rashi just a moment. Lo yatir es sukkah, so lo yatir agodim shra l'sosra, here's the problem. When you finish, let's say, lunch on the seventh day of Sukkot, you can't take down your sukkah. Why? Because you still need it. You still need it. Because let's say you're going to want to eat again, or you're going to want to take a nap, or you're going to want to learn. All of that should be done, of course, in the sukkah. So what should you do? But yet, on the other hand, what? You have to prepare for the Yom Tov of Shmini Atzeres, which you are not going to celebrate in your sukkah, but you're going to celebrate in your home. So what should you do? You should go ahead and take your kelim, your utensils. Now Rashi says over here, Ves hamatzos neshtamishan besocha, meaning you take in your mattresses, you take in your nice kelim, mina mincha ma, from mincha time and on, and you bring them back into the house. Why? Mipnei kavod Yom Tov, because you are showing that you are preparing for the kavod of Shmini Atzeres, which ultimately, again, is going to be celebrated within the home itself. Says the Gemara, Ein lo kelim lehorid. What happens if, lemaisa, you don't have utensils? What do you do then? What if you don't have any utensils to bring in from your sukkah into the house? The Gemara says, Ein lo kelim. What are you talking about? What do you mean, Rav Kelim? Ki ishtamish v'mai ishtamish. Obviously, for the last 7 days, you're using the sukkah. So you're using something.
Yeah.
So whatever you are using, you bring. So how can you say you don't have kelim? Mar says, no, I'll tell you what. Ella ein lo makom lahorid kelim now. But it's a very interesting shaila. Let's say again, one doesn't have a home. One doesn't have a home. Meaning, let's say again, I have nowhere else to celebrate Shmini Atzeres but my sukkah. But my sukkah, whatever the mitzvah is, right? So meaning, so also is what the Gemara is asking, a very interesting shaila. Let's say now you're telling me that come Shmini Atzeres, I remember for the last 7 days, I moved my life into the sukkah. Now in preparation for Shmini Atzeres, what do I have to do? I have to move my life back into my house. What happens, however, if I don't have a house to move back in? See, Ross says, here's the issue. I don't have a house to move back in. At the same time, I can't go ahead and what? I can't continue business as usual as I've lived in the sukkah for the last 7 days. Why not? Baltosif. because there's an issue. Remember, I said this is, we're talking about Eretz Yisrael. We're talking about Eretz Yisrael for just a moment, where again, there's no absolutely no concept of Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So what do I do in that kind of context? So the Gemara says the following: Reb Chiya Bar Av Amar Poches Ba Arba. Oh, you know what you do? Passel the Sukkah. So now I will say again, obviously not doing this right after lunch on the seventh day either, because remember, you're going to need the Sukkah throughout the day. But sometime prior to Shmini Atzeres, passel the Sukkah. What's the easiest way to pass the Sukkah? Remove Dal Tvachim of Tzach. Remove Dal Tvachim of Tzach. And obviously, you have to be conscious of doing it in a way that really passels the Sukkah. Because remember, again, there are certain ways that you can have an opening. But okay, without getting back into our previous Limudim, go ahead and open up four Tvachim of Tzach, invalidate the Sukkah. And therefore, it's clear that what? That even if you're going to reside in the Sukkah in Shmini Atzeres, it's what? It's fine. Why? Because it's not a Sukkah. Because it's not a Sukkah. Fine. This is seventh day. This is not Yom Tov. Right? This is Chol HaMoed. Hoshana Rabbah. So you could do it on Hoshana Rabbah. You couldn't do this on, we will see. You're saying, good, that's why this is going to get into a problem for us in Chutz La'aretz from day 8 to day 9. But on day 7, it's not a problem.
So you're saying this was where he lived all year round. He couldn't have a Sukkah and take off. And
well, again, if you're living there all year round, remember, it becomes a problem for Sukkah.
But even if you remove the stock or you remove the
Sukkah, okay, you could do it. Correct. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Rabbi Shimon Levi says, oh, you could do something else. Madlik ba es haner. You could light your candle inside the Sukkah. I will say, if you remember again, look at Rashi, madlik ba es haner. Darminan shraga besukkah kitana levar mimat losa. I will say, we had this sugya earlier, that if you have a sukkah kitana, now what's a sukkah kitana? A sukkah kitana is a sukkah mitzumtzum, right? 7.5 tefachim by 7.5 tefachim. You may not light candles in that sukkah, right? Logically, why? Because again, there's a fire hazard. And once there's a fire hazard, you're concerned that again, you're not really going to be focusing on the mitzvah of sukkah. You're going to be preoccupied with making sure your sukkah doesn't burn down. So the other way to show that the mitzvah of sukkah is over is how? To light a candle inside the sukkah. So the rest of sukkahs, you are not permitted to light a sukkah, to light a candle inside here. Now on Shmini Atzeres, if you have nowhere else to go, you can go ahead and light your candle inside the sukkah itself. So the Gemara says, "Velo pligi." And the truth is, these two opinions are not arguing. Halan v'halahu. Look at Rashi. Halan libnei bavel shashmini shalahem safek shvi delo kimla bikvir diarcha. Madlik ba'es haner v'lo yivchasena b'yafsalena l'fi shazarek l'yishay b'machar v'haluhu l'bnei Eretz Yisrael. Most of listen to this. So the Gemara suggests now these two different etzos apply to Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. See, here's the difference. In Bavel means chutzlar. So in Bavel, remember, we need the sukkah on day 8. We need the sukkah on day 8. And not only that, you need a kasher sukkah on day 8. Why? Because in Chutz La'aretz, day 8 is what? Day 8 is Shmini Safek Shvi. So I need a kosher sukkah. So to tell me that I should go ahead and pass on the sukkah by removing Dal Tvachim of Tzach is not a good etzah for me. But for in Chutz La'aretz, you know what I can do? I can bring the candle inside. Because remember, again, technically speaking, bringing the candle inside doesn't technically pass on the sukkah. But at the same time, it's something that I would not what? I would not do during the 7 days of sukkah. So therefore, it's a clear indication that I'm sitting in the sukkah, but I'm leveraging my halachic risk over here that this might be Shmini Atzeres. In Eretz Yisrael, where lemaisa again, day 8 is what? Day 8, there's no mitzvah sukkah. That's where the etzah is, pasul the sukkah on day 7, at the end of day 7, by removing dal tvachim of schach. So the Gemara says, teinach sukkah kitana. So first of all, this etzah of bringing the candle inside the sukkah is a demonstration that I'm not fully vested in the mitzvah of sukkah is good if what? If you have a small sukkah. Because remember, I will say, if you have a large sukkah, like today, you have a regular large sukkah, you could bring your candles in, you could light your candles in the sukkah. So again, that only works if you have a very small sukkah. What happens if you have a large sukkah? Ma'ikalamimar. Oh, dima'ayil ba mani michla. Oh, you know what you do, Rabbosai? Literally, you bring in your utensils. The Amar Rabba, because Rabba said, mani michla bari matlalasa. Because Rabba said, you have to keep your food utensils outside of the sukkah. Mani mishtia matlalasa, but drinking utensils inside the sukkah. So if you remember, again, we had this Gemara. We had a machlokes Rashi Tosus as to what money michla means. According to Rashi, money michla means dirty dishes. Dirty meaning after you ate. So the idea is, well, according to Rashi, under normal circumstances, when you finish eating, you want to clear off your plates from the sukkah as quickly as possible. Why? Because the food gets caked on it, and it's not covered for the sukkah to have dirty dishes sitting in the sukkah. So according to Rashi, then what that would mean is, but on Shmini Atzeres, what would you do? Just sit a little bit, right? You let the dishes sit there. So, which is an active demonstration that you're doing something different, obviously, that you've done on the rest of Yom Tov. On the other hand, according to Tosus, money michla means what? Pots. Pots and pans, serving utensils. So Tosus says, during Sukkot, we don't bring in our serving utensils to the Sukkah. Oh, so according to Tosus, what do you do on Shmini Atzeres? Bring in your pots. Bring in the pots, right? Bring in the serving utensils. And that is a clear demonstration that it's Shmini Atzeres and not Sukkot.
Fine. He has nowhere to bring the kelim.
I'm sorry?
It's a round argument. What happens if there's nowhere to put the kelim?
How can you have a table?
No. You have to bring it into the house. It's saying you have to bring it into the house.
On Sukkot, this is, we're talking now on Shmini Atzeres, how to deal with this. So the way to make a demonstrable difference on Shmini Atzeres is to bring in the utensils, something you wouldn't do over the course of Sukkot.
I'm a bit bothered because before there was a question.
Don't be bothered.
And here you're saying now bring it to the house is the answer.
No, bring it into the Sukkah. You're bringing it into the Sukkah. Remember again, we're trying to figure out right now Lemaisa, how to show that your sukkah is no longer a sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So the answer is, leave the pots in there. The rest of Yom Tov, you wouldn't leave the pots in the sukkah. Now leave the pots in the sukkah. Says the Mishnah. And by the way, that is, you should just know, that is Halacha Lemaisa. That is Halacha Lemaisa, the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen. Simon Tafresh Samich Vav writes the following. I'll just read this to you. Tafresh Samich Vav is only one siv. Even though you finished eating in the sukkah on the seventh day in the morning, lo yistar sukkah, don't take down your sukkah. Obviously, you can't take down your sukkah. Mr. Brewer comments why? Because you need the sukkah still for the entire seventh day. But what should you do? You should begin to take in the utensils. And again, utensils doesn't just mean eating utensils. It means, remember, for the 7 days of sukkah, you moved your life into the sukkah. So move your stuff back into your house. And begin to arrange the house for Shmini Atzeres. So I will say now again, the Shulchan Aruch deals with an interesting case. What happens ever? The weather's beautiful. I don't want to move my stuff back in my house. I'd like to stay in the sukkah. Says the Shulchan Aruch, no problem. However, in Eretz Yisrael, if you still want to sit in your sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, not a problem, but you have to pass all the sukkah. So again, remember, you could do whatever you want. The example he's giving is removing Dal Tvachim of Sach. You could also remove a wall if you want to. You could do whatever you want to do as long as you clearly invalidate the sukkah. Vim Hutzrach Lisod Bishar Hayom, Tzrach Lechob Sukkah, Shemitzvah Sukkah Shiva. That goes without saying. Obviously, if you want to eat the rest of the day of the seventh day, even if you've begun to take in your kelim, you still have to go ahead and eat in the sukkah on day seven. Ubechutz La'aretz. Shetzarech leishay babishmini in chutzaretz where you must eat in the sukkah on day eight on Shmini Atzeres. Gamar milech obi mashmini morid kelav umefana osamimena. So we'll say, remember, for us in chutz la'aretz, what they do in Eretz Yisrael on day seven, we do on day eight. That lamaisa after I finish eating on Shmini Atzeres, I begin to bring my kelim inside the house. So again, same thing. Let's say either I have no home to bring my kelim into, or I want to stay in the sukkah on day nine. Remember, we'll say the eitzah of day seven is not available on day eight. What's the eitzah of day seven? Invalidate the sukkah by moving down to tefachim of schach. You can't do that. Why? Why? It's yom tov, as Akiva mentioned before. It's muktzah. It's Muktzah. So you don't have the Issa. What do you do? Maya Asel Lehekira. So what should you do now? Remember, we'll say this again. This is now day 8 in Chutz La'aretz. I have to move my stuff back into my house. Let's say I can't for whatever the reason. So I'm going to have to be in the Sukkah on day 9. I can't just continue to sit in the Sukkah in a regular Sukkah on day 9. Why? Why? Bal Tosif. There's an issue of adding on to the Issa. So what should I do? Umaya Asel Lehekira. Im Haysa Kitana Sh'asra La'aniach Ma'aner B'shar Yamim Yani Chineba. Oh. If I'm living in a sukkah kitana, very simple. What do? Bring in the nair, light the candles inside. I didn't do that the rest of Yom Tov. I'm going to do it now. That's a demonstration that I'm not using this hut as a sukkah anymore. And if it's a large sukkah, in which case, again, the nair is not a good demonstration. Machnis ba kederos ukearos ukiyote bohem. What do? Bring in your pots and your pans and your certain pieces. So you see the mechaber by the Rabbosai. Paskin is like Tosis, not like Rashi. Kedei lahak yoshi psula v'shekvar nigmara mitzvasa. And Allah, by bringing in your pots and your pants. You go out and you demonstrate that you're sitting in the sukkah now for enjoyment, but not to fulfill the mitzvah. Mishnah. Nisuch hamayim kesar. Tzluchish shel zov. Let's say again, how do you do the mitzvah nisuch hamayim? So mitzvah hamayim kesar. I will say now, we're transferring a little bit now into a new halacha of nisuch hamayim. We mentioned nisuch hamayim in passing, but we haven't spent a lot of time on it. Nisuch hamayim is the water libation. Remember, water libation is very unique. The rest of the year, we have plenty of nisachim, but they always come from what? Wine. Nisachim always from wine. There's only one time throughout the year that a nesach, that a libation is from water, and that's sukkis. The Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah says, why do we do nisachim on sukkis? So the Gemara says, because remember, sukkis is the beginning of the rainy season. So we bring water on the mizbeach as almost it's like a sacrificial supplication. We're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please begin. Remember, there's an interesting tension on sukkis. On one hand, we want the rain to begin. On the other hand, if you could just give me 7 more days, right? So again, just give me 7 days. Our truth is, we even just want one day, right? We even just want one. So again, it's an interesting tension. In any event, we'll say this is really beautiful. So nisach, how did they do the nisach hamayim? Ketzad, tzluchis shel zav, they took a golden pitcher, machzekes shlosha lugim, that held 3 lug of water. And where would they, what would they do with it? Hayim emali mina shiloach, they would fill it out from the shiloach spring. I will say, if you've ever gone to the Ir David, to the City of David tour, like the tours in the City of David, you could actually go now. It's an amazing thing. You could walk through, the way David HaMelech, just an aside, the way David HaMelech conquered Yerushalayim from the Yebusi. Shalim was a stronghold. So how did David HaMelech conquer from the Yebusi? He accessed the city through the water tunnels. Those water tunnels are the tunnels in which the Shiloach spring flows. So literally today, you can actually walk through the Shiloach spring. You can walk through the running water of the Shiloach spring. So it's amazing. And if you'll notice, really the Shiloach spring is right outside. It would have been right outside of the Har HaBayis. Right outside of the Har HaBayis, they went to the Shiloach spring. It's amazing. I'm just saying to think about, like, you can literally put your hands in the same exact water that was Mamash used for the Nisuch HaMayim.
Took a rock from there.
Sorry?
I have a rock in home.
I think that's illegal. I'll have to go back and edit. I didn't hear that. You know, I didn't hear that. Okay. So the Gemara says the following. So you could go ahead. So they could go ahead. They drew water from the Shiloach. He gila shamayim. So we'll say, then they brought the water to the Shamayim. So again, I don't know if anyone still has their pictures from Maseches Yoma. If you have your pictures from Maseches Yoma, yeah, it's okay. We don't need it a lot. I'm just going to show it to you. I'm just going to show it to you quickly. So here is the Shar HaMayim. Shar HaMayim is right here, which is very important because if you'll notice, the Shar HaMayim, right over here, the Shar HaMayim is the closest entranceway to the Mizbeach, which ultimately, again, is where the water libation, where the Nisuch HaMayim is going to take place. So he's coming into the Shar HaMayim, and he's going to access the Mizbeach right here. So he comes into the Shar HaMayim. Taku v'heriu v'taku. And they literally did a tekiah, tshurua, tekiah. This is not really utilizing shofar. This is utilizing chatzotros. So they went ahead and they blew these sounds. And actually, we'll see what, bless you, we'll see why they did that. Allah bekevesh. So what happens? Now the coin goes up on the nebos. I want to point out something very interesting. The Rambam says that the drawing of the water did not have to be done by Kohanim. So the drawing of the water could have really been done by anyone. Obviously, once we get to the Beis HaMikdash, once we're coming into the Shar HaMayim, then of course we're talking about Avoda, and Avoda, of course, must be done by a Kohen. So what happens? They come to the Shar HaMayim, they blow the shofar, they blow the chatzosros, Allah bekevesh, he comes up the ramp, upana lismolo, and he turns to his left. And I will say, let me show you this over here. I'm going to hold this picture upside down so you can see it. So he's coming up, we're going to see how he's going to actually come up from his Beah. I don't know if you can see this. I don't know if you can see this, but over here on this corner, right over here, the Mizbeach, there are two little circles. Those are two bowls. Those are two bowls. Those bowls were permanently affixed to the top of the Mizbeach. So if you'll notice again, the way you access those bowls, let me hold it like this. I think this is easier. So what happens is he's coming up. We'll discuss which way he's coming up. But these two bowls are on the left side of the Mizbeach. So says the Mishnah. And what happens? There were two silver bowls there. Rabbi Huda said, Shel Sid Hayu. No, they weren't silver. They actually were made of plaster. But they had a silver-like appearance. They were a little bit darkened. Why? Because ultimately of the wine discolored it. Uminukavin, and each of these bowls literally had like a hole on the bottom. Kimin shnei chotmin dakin, like two nostrils. Like two nostrils. So I'm saying the bowls literally had a hole on the bottom of the bowl to allow the flow of the liquid. Like two nostrils. Like a drain. Echot mu'uva, the echad duck. One of the holes, one of the drains, literally was thick, and one of it was thin. In order, I will say, interestingly enough, what they would do is they would pour two things simultaneously. Remember, let me be clear on this. The Nisuch HaMayim was not done as a standalone service. Most probably, it was done along with the Tamid Shel Shachar, with the morning offering. And along with the Tamid Shel Shachar was also a Nesach, was also a wine libation. So you're bringing up the Tamid Shel Shachar, and you were also bringing a wine libation at the same time as the water. So both the water and the wine were poured into their respective bowls at the same time. So what the Mishnah is saying is one of the bowls had a thinner drain, one of the bowls had a thicker drain in order to allow for what? In order to allow for the water and the wine to flow at the same rate. Look at the Mishnah. However, fine. So I show you Kanshleim of Asachas. The bowl on the western side was used for water, and the bowl on the eastern side was used for wine. I remember again, and when you're looking at the Mizbeach, just to orient you, this is south, north, east, west. So what it's saying over here is again, so therefore the Ma'arav Shamayim, the one on the west, was used for water towards the west. The one towards the east was used for wine. Ira Shamayim Lusokh Shalyayim, Shalyayim Lusokh Shamayim. What happens if you poured the wrong liquid in the wrong bowl? Let's say you poured the water into the wine bowl, you poured the wine into the water bowl. The Gemara said, Mishnah says, Yatza, don't worry about it, you're fine. Rabbi Huda says, Biluk Hayomenasech Koshmona. Rabbi Huda says they would only use a lug of water all 8 days. Now, we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says, Rabbi Huda Omer, Betarti Pliyi. Rabbi Huda argues on the Tanakhama on two counts. Number one, Ashlosh Lug. And we'll say, remember the Tanakhama said that how much water was used for Nisuch HaMayim? 3 lug. Rabbi Huda's holding only 1 lug of water was used. That's Machlokes number one. Number two is the Tanakhama said that Nisuch HaMayim was only done when? The 7 days of Sukkot. Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says that it was what? It was done actually all 8 days, meaning including Shmini Atzeres. So it's two prong machlokes. Well, listen to this also. Ulamanasech Amar Hagbe Es Yadecha. And interestingly enough, to the Kohen who was doing the Nisuch HaMayim, they would tell him, lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Now, what that means is look at Rashi. Hagbe Es Yadecha. Shenira Shetitin HaMayim Besafal. Literally, we'll say there are two ways you could pour the water. You could pour the water by bending down and coming very close to the bowl itself, or you could stand a little bit more erect and pour at a distance. They used to tell the Kohen, stand up, pour at a distance. Why? They wanted to make sure he was pouring in the bowl and not pouring on the Mizbeach. Now, why would he pour on the Mizbeach? Says the Mishnah. Shepam echad nasa. So, because we'll say Rashi actually points out, let's read it over here. Rashi says that the Tzedukin did not believe in Nisuch HaMayim. Why did the Tzedukim not believe in Nisuch HaMayim? Nisuch HaMayim is a Doraisa. But it's what? It's a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. It's a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Therefore, again, it's not written in the text. Because it's not written in the text, therefore the Tzedukim did not believe in it. So what would happen if there was a Tzeduki coin? What would he try to do? He would dafka go out of his way to pour the water not in the bowls, right? To pour the water on the Mizbeach. So they were suspicious of Tzeduki Kohanim. So they used to tell the Kohen, lift up your hands, which literally means pour in a way that we can actively see that is being poured in the bowl. So the Mishnah tells a story. Shepam echad nisech echad al gabei raglav, because one time, one of the Kohanim, Dafka, poured the water on his feet. And the people pelted him with their esrogim, right? They didn't have tomatoes, right? Their esrogim, right? They pelted him with their esrogim. And you should just know, the story actually did not have happened. We'll actually see According to many opinions, this actually was one of the Chashmonoi kings, Alexander Yanai, who went ahead and actually, remember again, it's a big discussion with the Chashmonoi in general. The Chashmonoi did something very interesting. When they conquered the Syrian Greeks, they went ahead and they seized both the monarchy, and they didn't seize, they took the monarchy, and they were Kohanim. So remember again, it was the same people serving as Kohanim, Gedolim, and kings. Now understand, the Torah indicates that Kahuna and Malchus are split. And this for very good reasons. The Machlokes Rambam and the Ramban as whether or not the Chashmonoim did the right things. The Rambam actually praises the Chashmonoim for seizing the monarchy as well, because he said by seizing the monarchy, they provided stability. The Ramban says the seizure of the monarchy was the very undoing of the Hasmonean dynasty. They took more than that what they were supposed to. And again, we know at the end of the day, the Chashmonoi kingdom actually becomes very corrupt. Towards the end, in the beginning it's good, but it becomes very corrupt in the end, to the point actually that the Chashmonoi kings who actually served as Kohanim Gedolim were Tzedukim. So this story, you know, we laugh at it, but in fact it had a very, it had a terrible, terrible outcome, because this was the beginning of incredible persecution for the Jewish people. In any event, but they would tell the Kohanim, pour at a distance so we could see exactly what you're doing. Kemaaseh b'chol, kach maaseh b'Shabbos. The same way that you do Nisuch HaMayim during the week, you do it on Shabbos as well, with one difference. Ella Shahim Emali Me'erev Shabbos. We'll say with one difference, that when they had to do Nisuch HaMayim on Shabbos, they would not go to the Shiloach spring on Shabbos itself. Rather, what would they do? They would go on Erev Shabbos to fill up water. And what would they do? Chavis Shalzav She'en Mekudeshes Mina Shiloach. Umanicha Belishka. They had a golden barrel that was not a klishar, so it was not sanctified, and they filled it with the water of the Shiloach on Erev Shabbos. And they would leave it in the Lishka. They would leave it ultimately again in the chamber of the Beis HaMikdash. And what happened? Bless you. Nishpecha, if the water spilled, let's say the barrel tipped over, the water spilled, or Nisgala, or the water became uncovered. Rabbi, also remember, there's a concept of Mayim Megulim. Mayim Megulim means water that's left overnight cannot be used for temple service. That's why, again, remember in Yuma, we saw that Shlomo HaMelech made this whole incredible contraption where they took the kior, what they call the Yam Shoshon, they were able to lower it down into water so that, again, this way, again, the water left in the kior was not possible for the next day. So let's say, again, you remember you drew this water from the Shluch on Erev Shabbos, left it in the golden barrel. Let's say it spilled or it became uncovered and therefore it's unfit for use. What would they do? Hayim Emali Min HaKior. They would go ahead and they would, it's okay. What the Mishnah is saying is they would fill it up. Again, they would fill up the water from the kior, which tells you what? That Lemaisa, as much as we like to get the water from the Shiloach, it's not Ma'akev. You could use other waters as well. Shayayin v'hamayim megulin psulin gad mizbech, because any wine or any water that is left uncovered overnight is not fit for use on mizbech. Says the Gemara. Mina hanimili. How do we know? Now, how do we know what Rashi says? The Tokin umarim b'shiva samayim. How do we know that we go ahead and remember what did the Mishnah say? That when they would bring the water to the Sharamayim, they would go ahead and do a tekiah, a truna tekiah. So how do we know that we're supposed to blow the shofar when we do the Nisuch HaMayim? To which the Gemara says so beautifully, Amar Rav Ina de Amar Kra, Ushaftem Mayim Bisoson. Because the Pasuk says, Pasuk in Sheo says, you will draw water with rejoicing. So the Gemara understands that rejoicing means what? With music, with blow, with tekiah, trua, and tekiah. Also, the Gemara tells an interesting story. Hano tre meaning, there were these two apikars, and these two heretics, Chad Shmei Sason, the Chad Shmei Simcha. One was named Sason, one, you can't make this stuff up, right? One was named Sason, one was named Simcha. Amar le Sason Simcha. Sason said to Simcha, Ana Adif Naminach. So Sason said to Simcha, Simcha, I'm better than you. How so? Dichsiv Sason v'Simcha Yasigu. Because the Pasuk in Yeshaya says that Sason v'Simcha, they're synonymous, right? They both mean different types of joy, but the Jewish people will achieve states of Sason and Simcha. See from what Sason says to Simcha, I'm greater than you. Why? I'm mentioned first in the Pasuk. Amar le Simcha l'Sason. Simcha says to Sason, Ana adif neminach, not true Sason. I'm better than you. Why? Dichsiv Simcha v'Sason la Yehudim. Because the Pasuk says in Megillas Esther, Simcha and Sason for the Jews. So what do you see from here? That Simcha is better than Sason. So Sason's not going to be outdone. Amar le Sason le Simcha. So Sason said to Simcha, to be honest, Chad Yoma, Shavkuch v'Shavyuch, Parvanko. One day when Mashiach comes, they're going to make you into a scout. They're going to send you as a messenger. Dichsiv, ki besimcha teitzeyu. Literally, again, a little bit of a misinterpretation of the Pasuk, but ultimately, again, Simcha's going to go out. Amar le Simcha le Sason. So Simcha said to Sason, really? Chad yoma shavkuchu umalu bachmaya. One day they're going to make you into a water skin and they're going to fill you with water. Dichsiv ushafte mayim b'sasam. That they're going to draw water with sasam. Literally, they're going to turn sasam into a water skin. Okay, we're going to say one more and then we'll have to interpret this. Amrle ahumina, there was once another heretic. They will say, whether this is the same heretic sasam or another heretic sasam, came to Rabbi Avo. And he said to Rabbi Avo, oh, In the future, you, he's talking to Rabbi Avo, you are going to draw water for me. Now the way Sasson understood this pasuk was, they will draw water for Sasson. So when Mashiach comes, all of you are going to be drawing water for me. He was making a joke of it. Rabbi Avo responds, if it would have said Ushaftamayim Lissason, I would have said, okay, you're right, we'll draw water for Sasson. Hashta Dichsiv Bissason. Now that it says we'll draw water with Sasson, Mashche Dahu Gavra Mishavina Leguda, the skin of this man, referring to Sasson, is going to be made into a water skin. Umalinon Beimaya. Or in other words, Rabbi Avo is stark with him. Rabbi Avo says, you know what? When Mashiach comes, you'll get yours. And we'll say, what's happening over here? So this, obviously, these two stories. So first of all, you should know the Gra understands that there's a very deep esoteric meaning in these stories, which we're not going to get into right now. But I think that there's a simple idea. You know, Soloveitchik writes, the Rav writes in Al HaTshuva, he says that the word tshuva, we translate it as repentance. But in reality, what it means is what? To return. So the Rav says that life is like a circle. That everybody's on a journey, but the truth is the journey really always leads back to the point of origin. The Rav says the only variable in life is whether the size of the radius. He says that's the only chilek. He says sometimes it's a radius anaki, it's radius anaki, right? Sometimes again it's a very large radius, sometimes it's a small radius. But at the end of the day, everybody comes back to the Ribono Shel Olam. Some people do it on their deathbed. Some people do it in the afterlife. Some people do it when the young people do it when they're old. So what's the pshat over here? You know, it's amazing. I think what the Gemara is highlighting is you have these two heretics, right? And yet, what are the heretics arguing about? They're arguing about psukim. Because at the end of the day, no matter how estranged the Jew becomes, no matter how he might claim that I'm an atheist, I don't believe, I'm a heretic. And yet what? There's no way to divorce the neshama of the Jew from Torah. Even the most self-professed heretic will ultimately find his way back. It might even be, again, he might be trying to poke fun. Again, they're not really having a Torah discussion over here. They're trying to poke fun, but it's amazing how the heretics, even the heretics in Klal Yisrael, poke fun how? By utilizing and dashing psukim. That is the clock of the neshama of the Jew. Even if the radius is very large and it's going to take you a very long time to get back, no one is beyond salvation. No one is beyond repair. Even the greatest self-professed heretic still has his shoresh, still has his root in Torah. Rabbi Avo teaches us that sometimes, again, Rabbi Avo also teaches us the need to engage. Right? Rabbi Avo could have simply dismissed the guy, but instead he engages him. Now he engages him on two levels. He listens to his question. He answers his question, by the way, but he also gives him shtark musar, like the Rasha, Haki Yeshinov. You know, even Hakishiv doesn't have to literally mean knock out his teeth. The idea ultimately is you can't be afraid to engage. And sometimes by telling people like it is, you have to be a Rabbi Avo to do it. You never know the impact you can have on it. In any event, Viter says the Gemara, Olav Keres. What happens? He went up the Reb, Upanah L'Smolo. So remember again, the coin went up the Reb, and he turned to the left. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan Kala Olam Mizbeach Olam Derech Yamin. Normally, when a kohen goes up on the mizbeach, the way he goes up is like this. He comes up on the right side, he goes up on the right, and he goes around counterclockwise on the mizbeach. And then he comes down on the left side. Chutz min ha'ola l'shosh advarim, with the exception of three things. What are the three things? Number one, sholem derech smol v'chozen ala ekev, who go up on the left side, and come right back down on the left side as well. Meaning they go up and they retrace their steps back. And what are they? Nisuch hamayim, the water libation. Nisuch hayayin, wine libations. Va'ola sa'ov kishrav sabah mizrach. And a bird ola, when there's too much going on the other side of the Zechron. We'll say, what's happening over here? So let's explain the last one first. The ola sa'ov, Rabosai. Ola sa'ov was normally offered up. And I guess the southeast side, really the northeast side. So normally all that sa'of would be offered up right over here. However, again, if there was too much going on, if there are too many kohanim on this side, you could offer up again the Olas Ha'ov over here. So therefore, again, the Maisa, if there was too much Kohanic crowding on the corner where the Olas Ha'ov was supposed to be offered, you could offer it up over here. If you're offering up over here, there was not a need to go up on the right side and go all the way around. You could simply go up on the left side and offer it here. Nisuch HaMayim and Nisuch HaYan was for a different reason. There was a concern that if you went up on the right side and you had to go all the way around, remember, what's over here in the middle? There's a fire that's burning. The smoke, if the smoke gets mixed in with the wine or the water, it could taint the wine or the water. In order to avoid the possible tainting of the wine or the water, you take the shortest path up to the bowls, which was going up on the left, and simply retracing your steps back down. Elashay Mashkirin, I said, remember again, the Rabbi Huda said that the bowls were made of plaster, but they became darkened. So Bishlam the Yain Mashkir, the Maya Mai Mashkir. I understand why the bowl used for wine would be darkened. Why? Because it was used for wine. The mice again, the wine could darken it. But why would the bowl for water become darkened? Kevan d'amar ira shamayim asoch yayim shayayim asoch mayim yotza shamayim asu lashkure. Because once we establish that what if you accidentally poured the wine into the water bowl and the water into the wine bowl, it indicates that what that mix ups would happen. Because mix up would happen over time, it happened that wine got poured into the water bowl as well, and therefore lemaisa, the water bowl became discolored as well, became darkened. Umenukavin kemin beis chotmin, and again the bowls had two nostril like drains. So lema masnisin de Rabbi Yehudahi below Rabbanan. I will say just as an aside, we don't have time for it this morning. Machlokis under machlokis Rashi tells us as to what the drains were used for. According to Rashi, the drains were used to allow the water and the wine to pour into the surface of the mizbeach. Then after it poured into the surface of the mizbeach, there was another drain on the mizbeach. That drain then went down to a very deep part underneath the subterranean collection point that was called the Shisin. According to Tosfos, the holes, or should I say the drains in the bowls, went straight down. It never went under the deck. It also led directly into the Shisin. Okay? So the Mishnah says, Le'masiz Rabbi Yehuda below Rabbanan. Say that our Mishnah reflects Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbanan. Why? Remember, Rabbi Yehuda holds what? Rabbi Yehuda holds that there was one lug of water used. The Rabbanan used to say what? Three lugin of water. So the Gemara is suggesting over here that our Mishnah reflects Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbanan. This time, Rabbi Yehuda says, Belug Hayom Menasech Kol Shmona. Rabbi Yehuda holds that there was one lug of water throughout the 8 days. Di Rabbanan Ki Adodininu. Because Rabbosa, remember, see, here's what's happening over here. We're assuming that the smaller drain was used for what? That the smaller drain was used for wine. And that makes sense according to Rabbi Yehuda, because why? You have three lugin of water, one lug of wine. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, remember, you want everything to flow at the same time. So therefore, again, there's more water than wine. Let the wine flow out slower. But according to the Rabbanon, that there are three lugin of water, three lugin of wine, you can have drains the same size. Which the Gemara says, no. Afilu timar Rabbanon, chamra samich, maya kalish. No. Because Rabbi said you would want a wider drain for the wine and a thinner drain for the water. Why? Because water flows faster than wine. Wine is thicker. So if you want them to flow at the same rate, even if you're using the same amounts, right? Lemais, again, you want a wider drain, what he calls, again, mu'uva, a thicker drain, ultimately, again, for the wine, and a thinner, a darker drain for the water.
Their wine also wasn't diluted, right? Their wine
was not diluted, correct.
It's not like wine we're picturing.
Well, it's liquid, but it's thick. It's thick.
It's not like wine.
It's some dilution. Wine, by definition, has water in it. Without water, it's not wine.
It was much thicker than wine today.
All wine was thicker than wine today. Correct.
My Shabbos fixed up.
Hachinayim Mestabra. Hachinayim Mestabra. I only get paid by the hour, so I have to finish by night. So Hachinayim Mestabra. This also is clear. De'i Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda, again, if the Mishnah reflected the view of Rabbi Yehuda, Rachav Bekatzer Islay. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah should not have used the Shonos of Dak and Mu'uva, but rather again, because remember, Dak and Mu'uva indicates two drains that are much more similar to each other, right? One is a little bit thicker, one is a little bit thinner. According to Rabbi Yehuda, really one of these drains should have been what? Rachav Akatzer. Rabbi Yehuda says Rachav Akatzer means wide, and what? And narrow. Wide and narrow are much different than Dak and Mu'uva. See, what the Gemara is saying over here is the Mishnah must be reflective of the Rabbanan. Because according to the Rabbanan, where you're losing three lugin of water, three lugin of wine, you only need a very small difference in the drains in order to allow the two liquids to drain simultaneously. According to Rabbi Huda, who's saying one lug of water and three lugin of wine, you need what? You need Rachav Katzer. You really need a much greater distinction between the two drains in order to allow the two liquids to drain simultaneously. Because the Gemara says, after all, the Gemara says, the Sanyo, Rabbi Huda says, Shnei kashvaos hayusham, echad shalmayin ve'echad shalyayin. There are two bowls there, one of water, one of wine. Shalyayin piha rachav. For the wine ultimately, again, its opening was very wide. Shalmayin piha katzar, because it was according to Rabbi Huda, why does the wine have to be very wide? Three lugin, there's a lot more. Shalmayim, the one of water, piha katzar, was very narrow. Kadeshu shnehen kolim bevasachos, in order that both of the liquids should flow simultaneously. Shmamino, this is indeed the case. So I will say what comes out over here is the following. What comes out is that lemaisa again, we paskin like the chachamim. Again, first of all, Mishnah records the machlokes of the chachamim. And again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's only one lug of water and it's used all 8 days, three lugin of wine. According to the Rabbanon, there are three lugin of water only used 7 days and three lugin of wine. How do we, and therefore, again, according to the Rabbanon, the Lashon of the Mishnah makes sense. Dak and Mu'uva, thin and thick, represent strains that are pretty much similar with a very small difference, which would reflect the Lashon of the Rabbanon very beautifully, because again, you only need a minor adjustment in the drain of the water to allow them to flow simultaneously. When Rabbi Huda is quoted, Rabbi Huda holds one and three, Lemaise, for him, Dak and Mu'uva is not enough. For the liquids to flow simultaneously, he needs what? Rachav and Katzar. How do we pass? The Rabbanon passing is like the Rabbanon. And Lemaise, again, for Nisuch HaMayim, there were three lugin of water that were used, just like the three lugin of wine. And we pass like the Rabbanon also, in that the Nisuch HaMayim was only done on the 7 days of Sukkis and was not done on Shemini Atzeres. All right, Tavos, I will stop here.
It was done on 7 days.
7 days.
Rabbi Nisuch HaMayim on all the sacrifices?
No, one time per day.
Only on the tongue.
One, correct.
Nothing else.
Correct.